Please be seated. So, just a little prelude here. I was on my way back from Courtney yesterday, and seeing our granddaughter, and stop at a little place we normally stop in for supper in Ladysmith, Zach's Lounge. Anybody been to Zach's Lounge? Great little place. Never had any problems, but a pulled pork sandwich took umbrage with my desire to eat it and taste it, and I didn't think I'd be here this morning, so I'm amazed. At 2:30, I wouldn't have bet on it, but here I am, a little worse for wear with the, let's just say the hotel is empty. All right, so what are you going to speak about today? You going to tell people how to love their enemies? Sorry, I'm being rude. I've not made the proper introductions. The voice you just heard was I.C. Sometimes I call him Ick. But his full name is Dirksen's Inner Critic. You can probably piece together the acronym. I.C. can be rude, sometimes very funny, sometimes stand-up comedian funny, but only Denise gets that. Now, before you get worried, I.C. is part of me, not a separate personality, not a separate voice, but for many years, I've tried to ignore I.C., and but in the last 10 years or so, he comes over quite often. I don't know if it's about getting near the end of life or, you know, relatively speaking. And I.C. usually comes at very inappropriate times. So 2:30 in the morning, although yesterday at 2:30 in the morning, there was other things going on. But he kind of hangs on, out on the soul porch, wondering if I'll wander out, have a little conversation. I.C.'s tone is deceiving. He comes off as really angry, cynical. But usually, if I engage him in conversation, I find that he's leading me somewhere, to a door. A door that if I dare to face it, dare to walk through it, will lead to a new level of perspective, creativity, hopefulness, and to another I.C., inner calm. And I just knew Ick, I.C., would show up big time when I started reading the psalm that serves as our first reading and our incredible, astonishing gospel text. And I'm glad he did. Because as the gospel was being read, I looked out and I wondered if I didn't see some smirks from your I.C. giving your soul a poke. Gonna try and love your enemy, are ya? Now, I'm learning to welcome this cacophony that sometimes erupts in me, in us, when we get honest about the issues of life. And nothing fronts how far we, humanity, has to go than when we listen carefully to Jesus contradict almost everything we're used to in terms of relationships. To take a small step back, this is, if you like, a part two on love, on God's love, on agape, that is so contrary to all other loves and cultural expectations. And we looked at this a few weeks ago from 1 Corinthians 13. And the text today, the gospel text, and I think the psalm as well, just make explicit what I called in that sermon Paul's desperate gambit, a poem to love rarely seen and heard and known. But the only love, as I was saying to the children, that has any chance of holding humanity together. It was glimpsed by Paul and barely experienced by the original church, the communities in places like Corinth. They were learning to put down, to put aside their ego and humble themselves, to open themselves to something beyond the violence that seems to be humanity's, and if we're truthful, our norm. Today's texts make the root of that love, the call of that love, and dare I say, the impossibility of that love, obvious. Now, right about now, IC is nodding in vigorous agreement. My IC, your ICs, love words like impossible. It's one of those good, that'll put you in your place kind of words. But our texts also note, as I said, that the root of this love, the source, the spring, namely the root of existence, as Jesus knew him, the Father, is also our root. This source, this spring, this root of existence can, if we are freshly open to it, be just that in us, a spring. One of the most important hermeneutical moves we need to make, and hermeneutics is a big word that just has to do with the science of interpretation, but one of the things we see clearly unfolded in the New Testament is that all of the language about judgment is to be taken as the consequence of decisions that don't live in line with God's love. In other words, God doesn't go around smiting, but loving. And if God goes around loving, that means that even if IC is right, and I'm not even close to loving my enemies, if I don't even half the time bless those who cut me off on the road, if I don't try hard enough to reconcile myself to those who have hurt me, when I myself have made myself in those particular moments enemies, an enemy of God's way, because that's what I am at that moment. Still it's true, maybe especially true at that moment, that I am being loved. You are being loved and not judged. And if I'm being loved, if we're being loved, then we don't need to repress or suppress IC. Maybe, just maybe, IC is a gift. Wasn't it Carl Jung who said, spiritual and psychological savant, that he was, that our shadow, those parts of us that we're normally ashamed of, those parts we don't want others to know about, can actually be a clue to spiritual wholeness if we'll recognize them, if we'll pay attention to what they're pointing to, if we'll even dare to integrate them into our identity. And herein, my friends, is my clue, at least, my clue to trying to understand what Jesus is on about here. Jesus is perfectly aware that human beings, even his closest followers, cannot normally love those who've just hurt them. You know, if somebody breaks into my house and takes my stuff and I see them running away, I'm going after them. I'm not there yet. Just let them walk away. I mean, maybe if they've got a gun or something, but, you know, I'm not just going to let them take my stuff. Nor does Jesus imagine, or St. Paul for that matter, that moral exhortation alone is what will bring about transformation in us. As if self-righteous pontificating on the right, be better, do what God does, or be what God is, or the smug moral superiority of left-wing social justice warriors to do better, If those sorts of exhortations could change us, they would have a long time ago. They actually are just skin-deep salves. There's an amazing thing that happened in the last century. Mainline Christians, mostly in America, and by that I mean Episcopalians, Lutherans, Presbyterians, certain Baptists, proposed a rebuilding of the world that was based partly on this text. We called it the Marshall Plan, after George C. Marshall, who was the general in charge of implementing it. These victors of World War II recognized that if we tried to crush Germany and Japan, who had been so unspeakably cruel, and we do have to reckon with the cruelty. I'm not saying that we weren't cruel. The Dresden bombing, all of that was unspeakably cruel as well. But there was a type of cruelty that was perpetrated where you would think that our immediate gut reaction would be annihilate. And we kind of did that in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So I'm not really arguing for some sort of moral superiority, if you will. But what was recognized differently than after World War I was that if we just crush, then we just sow seeds of more evil and destruction, probably the seeds of World War III. And so this Pax Americana was far from perfect, not without profound self-interest from the American perspective. But it's also fair to say it was one of the most profound and widespread applications of Jesus' teaching ever attempted. And here's the amazing thing. It was largely successful. And we're forgetting about it. We're losing that center. Now, I'm not sure I can get to where Jesus is commanding me to go. But one thing I'm learning is that I see's criticism of me, his kind of mocking challenge to me this morning, is a gift. I see reminds me that I don't yet follow Jesus all the way. None of us really do, actually, if we're honest. And thus, I'm helped to walk a path to learn how, to pursue healing from my traumatic experiences, to learn how my quick twitch anger, which I've struggled with my whole life, can yet be integrated into my being, be my friend. How it points to the fact that we're all deeply wired to pursue justice and healing for others. And when we see that that's not happening, we get angry. The psalm is profound, isn't it? Do not fret yourself. Do not fret yourself. It'll only lead to evil. So I see helps me understand that I can't save the world, but that I can learn to let my thoughts go, to be still, and to wait for God who loves me unconditionally. Now, it has to be said that, of course, that we are not to accept abuse from a partner or an authority figure and call that loving our enemy. Actually, the Pax Americana is actually a good guide for us here. People can admit responsibility for their actions, and when they do that, it's the beginning of a new relationship, the beginning of the love of an enemy, a former enemy, that becomes something that is lived out in daily time. Now, none of this happens, as I said to the children, none of this happens without each other, without other people. Each of us has our own unique journey towards source and spring. It's only commonality, if you will, is community like this. whatever community is for you that helps that. To stay as we are, to only love those who love us, not only doesn't expose us to what is possible for each of us here this morning, but it mires us. It mires us in the way the world presently is. Our siloed, grumpy, keep your hands off my stuff world. And that just gets old, especially as we get older. It doesn't help us talk to each other across large political differences. It doesn't help us compromise with each other or find the practical answers for this community, let alone the wider world. But the good news is that the source is with us, not far away. We are born not just for an instinctual love, a comfortable love. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. And so sorry if I get emotional here as I end. But sometimes, I see this in you guys as well, inner critic morphs, becomes the inner Christ, opening us, telling us the truth. Because that's what he does and who he is. I love that song, The Deep, Deep Love of Jesus. We just don't understand how vast it really is. May you live into it. May you find your bearings from it and move towards it. Amen.